Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, and just so you know, before Whitney Houston sang it, this was always the greatest love of all. Amen. Just for a thought, the greatest love of all. Amen. Amen. When we talk about the greatest love of all, we talk about how Jesus says now that we are friends. Because when you're just a servant or even just an associate, that means that there's really no true love between two people. Yeah. That really means that there's no great relationship. Amen. What it means is that when you go to friend status, that means that you've graduated and now we have something between us. There's a bond. Right. And that bond should be the love of God. We used to sing a song in the old church that says, "What a friend we have in Jesus." But I want to ask the question, is there Jesus in your friend? Amen. Amen. And so when we talk about our friends and talk about relationship, we should make sure that there is Jesus in our friendships, in our relationships, our kinships or whatever, that he's the bond. Because if he's not, then there's always going to be chaos. There's always going to be trouble. There's always going to be some kind of circumstance that causes us to want to go our separate way. But when we talk about the greatest love of God, we know that God gives us and has given us over all this time. He has given us the greatest love. Amen. He's given us so much love that we can't really express to others how much he loves us. We can tell them all that he's done for us, and guess what? In our expression, we still do not give it just duty to what he's done for us. Amen? When we talk about the greatest love of all, I know many of us, we think about the song that was sang by one of the greatest songwriters or singers in our time, Miss Whitney Houston. And the greatest love of all was written by this guy named Michael Masser and this lady named Linda Creed. Way back in the 70s, originally this song was written. It was written by them for the movie The Greatest by Muhammad Ali, and it was originally recorded by George Benson. Amen. It was recorded by him. And for that movie that Muhammad Ali played himself in a biopic movie, The Greatest. But in 1985, it was remade by Whitney Houston, and they titled it, instead of The Greatest Love of All, they entitled it Greatest Love of All. And when she sang it, it went to the top of the charts. Linda Creed wrote the lyrics, but when she wrote them in the midst of her struggle. She had a struggle with breast cancer. And she wrote this song to help her to describe her feelings about coping with great challenges that she had to face in her life. She wanted to express how being strong during those challenges was very important. She wanted to let people know that whether you succeed or whether you fail, then you still should have strength enough to carry on. And she wanted to pass that on to her children in life, that no matter what challenges you face, you still should have the strength to carry on. And what carries you is the greatest love of all. 1 year later, after that song was written, and one year later after that song was recorded by Whitney Houston and went to the top of the charts, she succumbed to breast cancer. She died, but the song still lives on as a testimony of how great a love you need in order to be able to sustain yourself while you go through your trials. Now, I said all that to say this, that God will strengthen us. He is the greatest love of all, because First John chapter 4 tells us that God is what? Love. And so if God is love, this great love, the greatest love of all, will get us through no matter what we go through. His love will get us through. We may go through some stuff that we don't understand and some things that we think that, oh, wow, this is just the worst thing ever. But God will get us through because he loves us. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. And so if we're more than conquerors through him that loves us, that means no matter what comes our way, we'll be able to overcome. We'll be able to conquer those things because of the love of God. Not because we do everything we're supposed to, although we should try, but it's because he loves us so much that he causes us to overcome the obstacles along the way. Now, I have to confess, I haven't always done everything I should have done in order to make it through. If me making it through would have been hinged upon whether I did everything right, I wouldn't have ever made it through anything. Even the simplest things would have taken me out. But because of the love of God, he brought me through. Oh, hallelujah. So through many dangers, many things seen and unseen, many toils and snares, I've come through so much because of the grace of God. Now, when we look at this chapter 15, Jesus is talking here to his disciples. He's getting ready to check out. He's getting ready to go through a hard time, and he's getting them ready because he's trying to get them to have a mental picture of that I'm not going to be with you always here in the flesh, but I have to go and die on the cross for humanity because they need a Savior. And when I die, I'm going to come back someday, but I'm going to give you the Spirit of God, a comforter, a paracletos, somebody to come and help you to do what you're supposed to do while I'm gone, to remind you of the things that I said while I'm gone. Amen. And he's getting them ready. And so he's telling them how they should abide. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He said, if you abide in me, my word abide in you, ask what you will, it shall be done. He says, I expect you to bear fruit. And guess what? God expects us to bear fruit regardless of the environment. Regardless of the condition. Just as a farmer plants, he says, I don't care what the conditions are, I'm going to plant. And guess what? God is going to bring me an increase here, and I'm going to have a harvest. So God is saying, I don't care how bad off it gets, I still expect you to produce. I don't care how bad they lie on you, I expect you to produce. I don't care how bad they treat you, I expect you to forgive. I expect you to love. Amen. I expect you to turn the other cheek. I expect you to give your enemy bread when he's hungry and water when he's thirsty. Can I say that today? I expect you to do what you're supposed to do no matter what conditions arise in your life, no matter how bad the circumstance get. I expect you to show the greatest love of all, the love that I put in you. I expect you to bring forth fruit that's meat for the master's use. That's what he said to him. And he said, I'm the true vine. You are the branches. So whatever's in me ought to be in you. And so if some things happen to me, guess what? They're going to happen to you. He even reminded us in another chapter, he says that the world loved their own. So don't expect to be loved by the world. And we can't understand why people treat us the way they do. You can't understand why people lie on you, talk about you. You can't understand why they just won't be loyal to you. And you're saying, I'm being loyal to them. Guess what? The world is not your friend. The world loves its own. You are not of the world. So the world is not going to treat you just right. We wonder why they treat us like they do on the job. Well, the job belongs to the world. You can be good to them, you can help them, but then they'll turn on you just like that. Why? Because they are in the system of the world. Hallelujah. And so we can't expect people to be loyal to us because of them being a part of the world. Now, when we become Christian and we begin to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, as Romans 5:5 says, then we can really show true love. We don't show the superficial stuff. If you know, you know when people really love you. It's not by what they are, what they do for you because you did something for them. It's when you don't do something for them. So let me ask you a question. What have you done for God lately that you deserve what he gives you every day? I can say I haven't done enough. I can say I haven't done anything in my entire life to deserve the love of God that he gives me. Oh, hallelujah. That's what real love. I'm going to tell you, if you stop giving them something and see what happens. See when they call you. That's when you know that that's not real love. Amen. See, when you say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like this, and I'm not going to do that. And see how long they hang around. You know then that they're really not in love with you. Oh, come on and say amen here. So he says, and he tells them, he goes on to tell them, he says that when you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. We got to learn how to abide in the word. Stay in the word. The word has to be in us. And if the word is in us, no matter what we go through, the word will come up out of us. Amen. And the Bible tells us that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. If we have some stuff in our heart that shouldn't be, then guess what? The mouth going to speak it. If you got an issue with somebody in your heart, when somebody say something nice about them, you're going to say, they ain't all that. You're going to start talking about, I remember when they did this and that. You're going to start talking about them. You're not going to let that person walk away with praise to another person that you don't like because something's down in your heart. Amen. So we got to watch what's in our heart. We need to put the word. The Bible says, I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Come on and say amen. We have to learn to put the word of God in our hearts. Why? Because that keeps our heart right. Because the Bible says, Jesus tells us this. He says, what goes in a man don't defile him, but what comes out of the man defiles him. And so if I put the word in me and the word comes out of me, I guess the word keeps me clean. The word keeps me from being defiled. The word keeps me on the right track. Come on and say amen here. And so when I look at this, I understand that I got to have the word in me. And he says, then he goes on to tell him, he says, that I'll give you whatever you ask because you got the word. He doesn't give you what you ask because you've been good. He gives it to you because you have the word of God. Because when he looks at you, he sees the word. He doesn't look at you and see your fault, but he sees the word. Come on and say amen. And so when he sees me through the blood. He sees me cleaned up. He sees me differently than you see me. Because when you see me as no good. You see me as capable of doing anything. But when God sees me, he said, I see my son. I see somebody, a born, blood-bought believer. Oh, come on and say amen. So regardless of what people think, I like what God thinks about me. He said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do I have anybody here? Oh, Lord, have mercy here. It's feeling good to me. I don't know about you. But then he goes on to tell them, he says, that herein in verse 8 is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. He says, it's important that you bear fruit because then it proves that you are my disciple. It proves that you're connected to me. It proves that you are part of you're a branch that's a part of the vine, the whole plantation. Amen. You're part of what God has planted in the earth. Amen. And so he said it proves when you bear fruit. Now some people ask about what fruit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, faith, all of that. That's the fruit of the Spirit. We need to learn how to produce the fruit. Now when he said fruit, F-R-U-I-T, he didn't say fruits, but he's letting us know that if you have love, then the rest of the fruit is going to produce. In other words, basically, this love is like an orange, and if you got love, then you got a slice. Come on and say amen. You got a slice of peace. You got a slice of joy. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So let me go on. But the Bible says that in verse 9, this is where we want to be here. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, I want to bring your attention to the Master's love. The Master's love, he says that the Father, as the Father has loved me. This love is a consistent love. This love does not change. This love is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. This kind of love does not change. He said, as the Father has loved me, he says, so have I loved you. I took an example of how the Father loves, and I love exactly the way he loves. I love you with an agape love, a self-sacrificing love, amen. A love that is not selfish, that's not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemingly, amen. He said, I love you with the Master's love is a love that's consistent. It does not change. And you know what I love about it? It does not change when I change. Sometimes I'm not up to par. Sometimes I want to be mad. I'm trying to help somebody today. Come on, let's just be real. Sometimes you want to be mad. You don't want, if you know you want to be mad, you don't want nobody to call you with no scriptures. You don't want to talk to no church folks. Sure don't want to talk to the pastor because I don't want to be encouraged right now. I want to do what I want to do because I'm mad. And I like being mad for the moment. Amen. That's how we, sometimes we want to be sad. I just want to be sad. I don't want nobody to encourage me. I just want to stay how I am. Amen. And guess what? His love is consistent through all of that. Through our flesh, how we want to act. But not only that, the master's love is consistent, it's continual, it continues throughout whatever we go through, it continues to be right there with us. But guess what else? His love is confining. He says, if you keep my commandments, you abide or live or confined in my love. He says, even as I've kept my father's commandments and abide and I'm confined in his love. We have to learn that love can constrain us, confine us, keep us in place. Amen. The reason why, just think about this. The reason why you don't, if you're married, the reason why you're committed to that person, you're confined is because the love you share with one another. And so guess what? We as the church should realize that we are the bride of Christ. And our love should, his love should constrain us and confine us to one place. Amen, that I'm not going to be moved from where I am. And so when the enemy comes to taunt me, when the enemy comes to try to draw me out of my place, I remember the love of my husband. I wish I had somebody. I remember the love of God that he has for me. And I say, I'm going to stay in my place. I'm not going to get out of character. I'm not going to get out of the way. I'm not going to do something that is not seemingly for a Christian to do. Come on and say amen. And so I'm going to stay in the master's love. He said, I'm loving you the same way the Father loved. And I expect you to keep my commandments and stay in the same kind of love that I've shown. He said, even as I stayed in my Father's love. So I want to show you love. I want to show you that you got to continue to love. I don't care how bad it gets. You got to still love them. I don't care how they don't listen to you. You got to still love them. I don't care how, look, let me get real here. I don't care how bad they curse you out. Now, you know, some of y'all say, if they going to curse me, I ain't loving them. But he commands us to love. You know, you're not going to hear this kind of preaching everywhere. Because some people say, if they don't do right, you just leave them alone. Just don't deal with them. Stay away from them. Write them off. But what if God would have wrote you off? What if God would have said, that's enough? And you're condemned. God's condemnation. No more will I give you a chance to come back and get it right. Hallelujah. The master's love. We have to walk in the master's love, not in the love like the world gives, not that kind of love, because that kind of love doesn't help me out. That love does not change me. That love does not convert me. That love does not make me realize that something's wrong. You know, I can love my brother. I can filio my brother, and he'll never know that something's wrong with him. I'm just going to love him the way he is. Why won't I tell him? Because I don't want to offend him because I filio him. But when you agape somebody, you say, look, that's not good for you. You need to change that. You need to, you know, I've been there before. I needed help and somebody had to help me. And thanks be to God that he sent somebody my way. That's agape love. Helping somebody to get to see that they need some help. Amen. And so let's go on. So we look at the master's love, which is continual and consistent, and it confines, it keeps us in place. It holds us steadfastly, unmovable. Jesus even said, he that I have in my hand can no man what? Pluck out. Nobody can take you out of the hand of God. His love is there. The Bible even tells us, Paul says in Romans 8 and 38, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of God because I'm staying in place. Hallelujah. And so when we talk about that, let's go on to the next two verses. We talk about the master's love, and then in verse 11 and 12, we see the ministry of love. He said, these things have I spoken to you that your joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. The ministry of love here, it shows that the ministry of love shows that love should be communicated. Jesus said, I've spoken these things to you and I've communicated these things to you because it does something to you. When we say we love and we don't communicate that love in some way or form, then you have a person on the other end that's frustrated because they say, you don't show that you love me. You don't say that you love me. Come on. You can buy them a house, a car, and everything and never say I love you. And they'll say, you know, you don't ever say you love me. Love should be what? Communicate. I'm trying to help the men now. Love should be what? Communicated. The men don't like to say that L word, do they? Oh, them girls, they wait. He ain't said, did he say he love me? No, he ain't say he love me yet. He gave you a ring, yeah, but he ain't say he love me yet. Waiting on him to say he love me. You know, we got to learn how to communicate love. We got to learn how to make sure people have no doubt in their mind that you love them. Amen. That we got to communicate love. Jesus said, I communicated, look at this, these things I've spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. He said, I'm communicating to you because I want you to be full of something, full of joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord will be your what?
Strength.
So I need strength to be able to endure whatever hardness I may come to. So I need strength to be able to endure it. And how do I endure it? With the joy of the Lord being my strength. So I'm confident that he loves me and it gives me joy. So I don't care what you say. He loves me. I don't care what you do. He loves me. I don't care how you treat me. He loves me. You know how it is. You don't care what the people say. If you found that person that loves you, you don't care what they say. He loves you, and that's all that matters. They haters gonna hate. Come on and say amen. But we just gotta know that he loves us. Amen. The ministry of love should be communicated. It should be communicated. But look what I like about it. It compensates us. Why? Because he gives us something when he loves us. He gives us joy. He said, I give you this. I spoke this to you that your joy, my joy, might remain in you. He knows that someday we'll run out of happiness, but we need joy. Because happiness comes from what? Happening. Something happened to me. I happened to win on the lottery ticket scratch off. Amen. You know you play. I happened to win when I went to the card game. I went to the boat. Somebody blessed me. I happened to find $600 as I was coming out of in the parking lot of the mall. I found it. So it happened to me and I'm happy that it happened. So happiness comes from what? Happenings. But the joy of the Lord, it comes from the Lord. And so can't no devil in hell. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't what? Take it away. This kind of joy, it comes to me not because of what I did or what happened to me. It comes because even if things are not right, I still have this joy. You ever had somebody tell you something that just seemed like it was bad? You expecting bad stuff to happen, but you say, I'm all right though. I feel pretty good. Even though I know what the doctor say, I still feel good. Even though I know what the people say, I still feel good. Even though I know that all my money on Friday is going to somebody and I ain't gonna get to enjoy it myself, I still feel pretty good. Come on and say amen here. Do anybody here feel good sometime when it seemed like the odds are stacked against you? You smile and smirk and the devil say, you know, what's wrong with them? I've done all this to them and they still got joy. They still smiling. They still saying hallelujah. I'm blessed and highly favored. What's wrong with them that they don't see that they are poor and pitiful? The reason why I don't see it is because I'm seeing what God sees. I know that he's giving me joy on the inside that makes me want to run on and see what the end is going to be. The ministry of love compensates. God gives you something when he loves you. God makes sure that he communicates this love to you so that you'll be full of joy, so that you'll be confident in him, so that you will trust him that everything will be all right. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, I want to encourage somebody that I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Anybody else got that feeling? I feel like no matter what comes your way, that it's still going to be all right. It will be all right. It's all good because it's all God. Come on and say amen. And so the ministry of love is that God will give you something. He say, I give you my joy that your joy might be full. He says, sometimes you're deficient in joy. You can't enjoy yourself. So God say, I'll give you some joy so that you might enjoy even your trials when you go through. I enjoyed that whooping because it taught me something. I enjoy struggling a little bit, because now that I got through my struggle, I look back and Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. Sometimes when you have an infirmity, you don't feel all that great about it, but the joy of the Lord keeps you going, and you say, I'll make it through. And when you make it through, your soul look back and wonder how you got over, and then you give God praise and say, God, I thank you that I was able to learn something through all of that. I learned how to live through my trials. I learned how to trust the Lord when I couldn't trace the Lord. Come on and say amen. I learned how to let his hand guide me. Come on and say hallelujah. I learned how to let God take control of my life even when things didn't look right. I know that the trials that I'm going through, the trying of my faith, work at patience, patience, experience, and experience hope. And I have a hope that maketh me not ashamed, because I got the joy of the Lord. That's the ministry of love. But the ministry of love is commanded to us. He said, this is my commandment to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, these messages are not deep, but they are deep enough that we ought to live them. Amen. He said that I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Now, when I start thinking about how did he love them, the ones that he was talking to, the same ones that he was talking to, all of them, when he got arrested, they all forsook him. Amen. All except John followed him to the cross. Peter cursed and said, he didn't know him. Judas betrayed him. Come on and say amen. Thomas doubted him. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. We got to see that they were not all perfect, but guess what? He loved them. He gave Judas a sop and said, that thou do it quickly. Judas went on and did what he had to do. But the ministry of love, he still loved them. He fed them. Come on and say amen. He took and had supper with him the night before. It was not for him, rather. It was for them that he had supper on that last night with them. It was for them that he washed their feet. You see, he didn't ask them to give him anything. Amen. Even when they thought they were going to get bread for him, he said, I got bread that you know not of. So they didn't have to give him anything. Everything that they got, everything that he had, he gave to them. Amen. Every word from the Lord he gave them, every miracle he gave them, all the compassion he had on them. And so we got to look at the ministry of love. He said, I want you to love one another. Jesus never asked for anything. He only gave. That's why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to what? Receive. We got to learn how to give more. We got to learn how to give of ourselves. Most of the time we want stuff. We want what they got to give me. We even go to church based on what we can get. Come on and say amen. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we need a word. Amen. But we got to learn to take that word and give it to somebody else. Oh, yeah. We got to learn to take what we've gotten, what we've received, and learn how to give it. Because once we give, he said, if you give, it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall other men give into your bosom. So they'll put it right there when you put it right there. Come on and say amen. The ministry of love. We need to learn how to minister love to our fellow man. We need to learn to minister love to them in a way that they will not be mistaken about how we love. That it's the love of God. Nowadays, if you show people love, then they get perverted with it. They think you want something. They think you up to something. Oh, they're too nice. I got to watch that. They get skeptical of you. Oh, come on and say amen. But we have to learn how to minister the love of God in a way that I don't care what you think, let me love you.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support. We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968.